At some point in your life, you have probably had somebody do something to you, or you've had something happen or take place in life. And deep down inside, whether you said it out loud or not, you have said to yourself, I could never forgive that person for what they've done. Now, we may have meant that. Sometimes that's just the emotion speaking. But today we want to look at what the scripture tells us in regard to forgiveness. As you know, we have been in the middle of our series on transforming turmoil, or in other words, finding peace in the storms. And today we want you to grab your Bible, turn it over to Matthew's Gospel chapter 18, because we're going to look at the power of forgiveness. I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, we welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that all is going well with you and that God is blessing in an incredible way. Just a moment ago, I mentioned that we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, dealing with a pretty sticky situation today, and that is when it comes down to forgiveness. Maybe you haven't said it out loud, but you've thought it in your heart because of what somebody may have done to you or whatever the circumstance was, and you were just like, I just can't forgive them. You know, really what it was you didn't want to forgive them because you felt like they needed to pay for what it was that they had done to you or the circumstance or situation that they had put you in. But the bottom line was you really did not want to forgive. And sometimes what happens is there's a turmoil that's going on within us because as believers, the Holy Spirit is telling us you're not really given a choice as to whether or not you are to forgive someone. I always like it when people come up to me and they say, well, they didn't ask me to forgive them. Well, you know, unfortunately, the last time I checked the Word of God, it doesn't say that they need to come and seek your forgiveness. We are to forgive. And we'll talk about that just a little bit more in just a moment. But today we want to explore the life-changing power that forgiveness has in our hearts and in our lives, and particularly as it's outlined in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Now, within these verses lie a very transformative message that can liberate us from the very, very confining chains of anger and bitterness. Have you ever noticed that when somebody does us wrong, most often that's what it leads to? When there's something that somebody has done that we have that thought of, I just can't forgive them. We are angry and we are bitter, and often we are hurt as well. But today our passages give us the anecdote, as it were, to release those confining chains that bind us up, particularly of angerness and bitterness. And in doing so, that will lead us to healing as well as peace that God desires for each and every one of us. Look with me, if you would, at our scripture text for today. That's Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to just deal with a couple of verses. So Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 21, says this. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we continue our Bible study. Father, as we come to you today, I pray that you would truly give us insight into what your word is telling us today. May the Holy Spirit move freely in our lives today. Lord, may you meet us on the level where we are and speak to our hearts. Father, this is a message for each and every one of us. Lord, whether we are in the midst of a situation where we are harboring anger and bitterness and we need to forgive somebody, Lord, if we're not in the middle of it right now, there's going to come a time in the near future that we're going to be at this particular place. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and may it stick within us and what it is that you want us to do and how to deal, particularly with forgiving those that are around us. So, Lord, use your word to speak to our heart today. I pray that you would use me as your messenger for these few moments that we spend together today in your word. May you be lifted up, and Lord, may you truly draw all men unto you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we've looked at this passage, now I know, listen, there's going to be some times today that when we hit this, you're gonna growl a little bit. You're just going to kind of like, I don't want to do that. you know, I know maybe I should, but I don't want to. Or some of you may just be that person that's going to fold your arms and say, I'm not going to do that, regardless of what happens. Well, hang in there. Look at what the Word tells us. So when we look at our passage today, the passage is set within a broader dialogue on community and relationships among, you know, the early followers of Jesus. Now, prior to these verses, Jesus had been teaching about resolving disputes within the church and the significance that unity plays within the church and among brothers. Now, Peter is possibly seeking to understand the limits of forgiveness. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment, because often that's what happens with us. You know, over all my ministry, there have been times that people have come to me and they've asked me questions about what the Bible says in a certain area or about a certain thing. And really what they were doing was they were trying to find out where the marks were, where the limits were. How much work can I do and please God so that He's happy with me, but not cross that line and do anything extra, particularly in the areas of forgiveness and following His Word and what He tells us to do. It's like, okay, well, if the Lord told me to do this and this is how far I've got to go, I'm only going that far. Now, I'm not saying that that's what Peter was doing, but Peter is wanting to know what the stop limits are. You know, so it's possible that he's seeking to understand what the limits of forgiveness are. Isn't that what happens to us when we're in the middle of a situation and you know, the situation is requiring us to forgive someone else? All of a sudden, we want to know the nuts and bolts. Well, how much am I supposed to forgive them? You know, how much am I supposed to do? All right. Peter may be just, you know, looking, where's the limit? Now, in doing so, that kind of poses a question that was reflective of the Jewish teaching of the time. Now, I mean, there was a law there. Yeah, that particular Jewish teaching of the time advocated forgiving someone up to three times. There was actually a number that was put on it during that particular time of Jesus, and in the Jewish tradition, it was written, you forgive somebody, you know, up to three times. Now, you know, in Peter's suggestion, as he is asking this question to Jesus, Peter makes this suggestion where he says, well, how often should I forgive him? Seven times? Remember, tradition is saying, you know, three. So, you know, Peter, you know, is likely believing that he is showing some sort of an exceptional grace towards somebody when he's sitting there basically asking Jesus. He said, well, should I forgive somebody seven times? Tradition says three. Peter is saying, I'm saying a little bit more than twice what the tradition says, and he is posing this question to Jesus. Now, Jesus responds with, I'm going to use a big fancy word, hyperbole, or a hyperbolic statement, when he says this. He says, no, you know, not seven times, Peter, but 70 times seven. Now, remember where we are. Tradition says three times. Peter has said, well, should I forgive him seven? Jesus comes back with not seven, but 70 times seven. You know what that indicates? That is indicating that forgiveness should not have limits. Did you get that? You know, make sure you hear that, because sometimes this is what stings a little bit. Forgiveness should not have limits. This is what Jesus is trying to teach Peter. This is what he was trying to teach the disciples of that time. And this is what he's trying to teach you and I today as followers. So as we look on in our text, we see this exchange between Peter and Jesus. And in this exchange, Jesus fundamentally redefines the principle of forgiveness as they traditionally know it. Peter's question reveals a very common human inclination that you and I have, and that is to quantify forgiveness. That's what I was talking about just a moment ago. You know what quantify means. How many times do I have to do that? In other words, give me a standard, and that's what I'm going to stay by. Give me a certain number. And if it's three, I'm going to go with three. If it's seven, I'm going to go with seven. And that's just human nature with us. We always sit back and say, how far, how many times do I need to do this before it's okay with God? Now, Jesus challenges that mindset in this scripture text today. And he is suggesting that forgiveness is not a matter of arithmetic, but rather an attitude of the heart. Yeah. What's going on in here? It's not that, okay, I did my forgiveness three times or seven times or until 70 times seven, and now I'm free and clear and I can go forward. Jesus is saying it's not about the math. It's about your heart. What is your attitude? Okay? By using the expression 70 times 7, Jesus emphasizes that forgiveness must be boundless. And why does he do that? Because that is mirroring God's immeasurable grace towards us. Now, all of a sudden, when we start thinking about ourselves in the midst of this, it can change our heart. And sometimes, you know, Satan likes to put blinders on us. You know, the Word tells us a lot of things. You're going to hear me say this probably again before this Bible study is over with. The Lord says that we are to emulate Him. He says that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. Now, I don't know about you. I have been forgiven of a lot. I mean, a gracious plenty. The Lord says that in the same way that I have forgiven you, you should forgive other people. And you know, when we step back, we know, listen, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, and we know when we are withholding forgiveness. We know that we do not have a leg to stand on when it comes to trying to harbor bitterness and anger and unforgiveness towards somebody. But for some odd reason, we feel justified in doing that. And I can't tell you how many times people have said, well, if you only knew what this person did to me, if you only knew what the circumstance was behind this. And folks, here is the plain, simple bottom line. It doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter, you know, what they have done. The Word of God tells us that as believers, we are required to forgive them in the same manner in which the Lord has forgiven us. Now, I always like to say it this way. The Lord forgives us, and I've used the expression my whole ministry. He's taken that sin when we truly repent and we ask His forgiveness. He takes that sin, throws it as far as the east is from the west, into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. And a lot of us, boy, we like digging up bones. You know, we might sit back and say we have forgiven somebody, but boy, we like to go right back out there and dig it back up and dangle it in their face, particularly when things may not be going our way. Folks, that is not unconditional forgiveness. So let's look at and consider the theological significance of our text today. Now, this passage, you know, underscores the essence of divine love and mercy. Just as God forgives our transgressions unconditionally, we just talked about that, there are no strings attached. So just as God forgives our transgressions unconditionally through His grace, you and I are called to extend the same forgiveness to others. Listen, folks, you may not like that. You know, some of you may be wanting to switch this broadcast off right now, but look, it is in the Word of God. It is the counsel of God. If you have a problem with it, you don't have a problem with me, you have a problem with Him. So, you know, when you think about all the things God has forgiven you of, then you compare that to the unforgiveness that you have towards somebody else, and the Lord's saying, look what I forgave you of. And yet you want to hold them captive and you don't want to forgive them for what they have done to you. See, this is a divine model that Jesus gives us. And this divine model positions forgiveness not merely as a duty or something that we have to do, but as a reflection of God's character, as a reflection of who He is. You know, we talk about that all the time. What does the term Christian mean? It means being Christ-like. Well, when people see our actions, would they sit back and say, boy, that's Christ-like, and because that's Christ-like, I would like to follow Him. And when you're holding unforgiveness or bitterness or anger against somebody, people can look at you, and even an unsaved person goes, that's not what God's people do. That's not how God's people act. That's not how God's people react. And that does not reflect the character of God as I know it. Even when they're not believers, they'll say those kind of things, okay? So the wiping away of offenses epitomizes spiritual renewal, where burdens are lifted and new beginnings are made possible. You know what? Sometimes we allow ourselves to be held captive. I can't tell you the number of times that I've had conversation with somebody who has been withholding forgiveness. And boy, they have been bitter. They have been angry. And I said, you know what? I said, by doing what you're doing, you have chained yourself to that person, or you have chained yourself to that event. You are bound up with it. And they look at me and say, man, I don't know what you're talking about, but I certainly don't want to be chained to this thing or this person or whatever. And I said, by not forgiving them, that's exactly what you've done. You know, you cannot be free from that bondage until you give it to the Lord, until you truly show forgiveness to those around you in the same manner that God has showed forgiveness to you. Okay? So, when you think about that, maybe there are some things in your life. Maybe there are some areas in your life. Maybe there are some people in your life that need forgiveness. So, as always, we've said so many times, it's not just about having the Word of God in your brain, but it's also about letting it trickle down to your heart and make an application in your life. So how do we do that with what we're learning out of the Scripture today? You see, the transformative power of forgiveness can be experienced in our daily lives. When we choose to forgive, we release ourselves from that burden of anger and from that burden of bitterness that can weigh down our souls. And you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. You know that it can just drain you spiritually. It can drain you emotionally. It can even drain you physically. So by forgiving, we open ourselves up to reconciliation. We open ourselves up to the joy that the Lord wants in our life. We open up ourselves to peace that God wants you and I to have. So let me give you a couple of things. If you're a note taker, if you've got a pen or whatever, I'm going to give you four practical steps that you can embrace on how to deal with these type of situations. Okay, first of all, number one, if you're a note taker, this is your number one. Prayerfully reflect. That's number one. Prayerfully reflect. Seek God's guidance in identifying areas of your life where forgiveness is needed, okay? It may be people, it may be circumstances, it may be situations, okay? Then you need to ask for the strength to forgive genuinely. I've had those conversations with people before, and they said, you know what? I really in my heart don't want to forgive them, but I know that I need to. So my heart really does want to forgive them so that I'm not bound up in this situation, but I want to genuinely forgive the way God has genuinely forgiven me. And although it's difficult, I have watched God do some incredible things with the people that have found victory in doing just such a thing as forgiving those. Okay, so prayerfully reflect, ask God's guidance for the areas and the people in your life where forgiveness is needed, and then ask for strength to forgive them genuinely. All right, number two, let go of past hurt. Man, I could spend days on this. Let go of past hurt. Acknowledge the pain. Okay, you know what? That you were hurt. Somebody has hurt you. You can acknowledge the pain, but choose not to dwell in it. And that's often what people do. They choose to, in my old country term, wallow in self-pity, all right? So yeah, acknowledge the pain, but choose not to dwell in it. Release it into God's healing hands and let Him contend with it. So number two is let go of past hurts. Number three, commit to compassion. We just did a whole series on the miracles of Jesus not too long ago, and we talked about His compassion. Every single miracle showed immense compassion towards the people He came in contact with. So we need to commit to compassion. We need to strive to understand others and to show grace, recognizing that we all fall short at times. Listen, folks, none of us are perfect. The Word says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know what? Even when we have good days, we still fall short of His glory. So you know what? Let's remember where we are when it comes time for us to look at, and as we normally do, judge other people. You know, realize everybody's got a story. Maybe you don't even know their story. Maybe you don't even know why they're like they are or what they've done. I can't tell you the number of times when people have heard or found something out and then they go, oh, I didn't know they were going through that. Oh, I didn't know that was the situation in their family or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, the problem is too many times we don't know anybody else's story. So we need to learn to have compassion on those that are around us. Strive to understand them and strive to show grace, recognizing that you and I all fall short of the glory of God, particularly sometimes or just worse than others. So number three was commit to compassion. Number four, and the final thing I want to give you today as ways that we can make our scriptures applicable today. Number four is practice forgiveness consistently. Boy, that's a big word, isn't it? Consistently. There are a lot of things that we need to do better consistently. You know, I've often said this. I said, Baptist churches, no matter where you are, what state you're in or whatever, I said, for some odd reason, Baptist churches, it's almost like we will attend church in shifts. You'll have a crowd one Sunday, and then the next Sunday, half of them will be gone, but there'll be another half that will come in. And it's almost like we flip-flop Sundays. And it's sitting there going, well, geez, man, we would have a really, really good attendance if we could get everybody there on the same Sunday. So we're talking about consistency, all right? You need to practice forgiving consistently. Integrate forgiveness into your daily interactions, remembering that each act of forgiveness strengthens your spiritual walk. And you know what? It really is. There's a lot of this that really is about you and what God wants to do for you. It really is about Him wanting to give you peace and joy and harmony with others. And boy, when you are living in that sweet spot, it is a great, great place to live. Okay? So I hope and pray that this week you're going to be able to take these things, apply this scripture in your life. Some of you already know the people that you need to work on forgiving. Some of you already know the circumstances and situations that you need to work on forgiving, not because of what I told you, but because of what the Holy Spirit told you as we went through His Word. Okay? Now listen, here's the thing that you got to understand, and I get it. Forgiveness is not always easy. But it is always transformative, okay? Through God's limitless forgiveness, you and I are empowered to extend the same grace to those that are around us. Now, by doing so, we break those chains of resentment and we step into a life that is filled with healing and with peace. And may each and every one of us commit to embracing this very powerful practice in our lives. Listen, let me pray with you, and then I'm going to tell you what we're going to be looking at next week. All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your immeasurable grace, Lord, and your forgiveness towards us. Lord, I pray that you will help us to mirror your love by forgiving others as you have forgiven us. Lord, I pray that you will release us from the chains of resentment and fill our hearts with peace and with healing. Lord, empower us in consistently practicing forgiveness in our lives and in the lives of other people, bringing glory to your name. When people see that, it is always going to bring glory to your name. And Father, I do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, folks, let me tell you what we're going to be looking at, what your scripture readings for this week's going to be. I want you to spend some time this week in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. Okay, Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. Remember, right now we're in this series, Transforming Turmoil, and I subtitled it, Finding Peace in the Storm. Next week, which is week 5 of our series, we're going to deal with anger and righteous indignation. You're not going to want to miss this because so many times, you know, people sit back and say, well, do I have a right to be angry? I feel like I have a right to be angry. And then they'll point and say, well, Jesus was angry as well. Listen, spend some time in Mark chapter 3. Come back next week at this time. Anger and righteous indignation is what we're going to be looking at. We're going to differentiate between sinful anger and righteous indignation. We're going to explore how Jesus expressed anger in a way that aligned with God's will and with God's purpose. And I hope and pray that you will take that time to be with us and to join us next week as we gather for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. At any rate, I pray that you have a great, wonderful week. As always, if you don't have anything to do on Sunday, don't have a church home, or happen to be in the area, we would love to invite you to worship with us in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North. We're right across from the Military Academy. If you are familiar with that particular area, I would love to meet you and love to have you join us for worship. So until Sunday, I pray that you have a great week, and I pray I'll see you then. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.